morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and glad you're here. It's Tuesday, May 29, 2007, about 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. And, of course, welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. And keep in mind, of course, the shortwave bill is very, very expensive, folks. It costs about $50 an hour to do the show on shortwave, which means that, of course, when you factor in 20 hours a week and you do the math, you can see that it's a pretty substantial cost. And from what I understand, donations from you listeners out there have been somewhat slow, not just not specifically for this show, but just for the network in general. Things have kind of dried up out there. So that means that we probably will not be on shortwave for much longer in the final hour of the show. So for you shortwave listeners out there, it will probably only be a three-hour program from now on, even though there will still be a fourth hour. It just won't be accessible to you. So, you know, you can always seek to remedy that sort of thing by going to republicbroadcasting.org and being involved. You can also call the network directly and make donations and say, hey, I want that fourth hour on shortwave. It's very easy to do. You just dial 800-729-2719, and obviously you do so during normal business hours, and, you know, do what you can. If it's something you like to do, you might see it as a worthwhile investment. I don't know. It's up to you. But our phone number, if you'd like to call in, as always, 800-313-9443. We left off. We were continuing on with this very, very long news segment, but yet I think a very, very important one. And we were talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, or about to. And again, from Wikipedia.org. It says, Jehovah's Witnesses are an international religion that rejects much of mainstream Christianity in favor of what they believe is a restored form of first century Christianity. The religion was developed in response, quote, to what they saw as a compromise and corruption in mainstream Christianity, end quote. They dispute doctrines such as Trinity, hellfire, immortality of the soul, and clergy-laity divisions as illegitimate additions to the original Christian teachings. Which you might say, wow, that sounds fairly normal. Yeah, some of them do sound fairly normal, but then it kind of gets all crazy. But anyway, Jehovah's Witnesses originated with the religious movement known as Bible Students, which was founded by in the late 1870s by Charles Taz Russell. That's the founder. Keep his name in mind. In the early 1870s, Russell organized a Bible study group of Second Adventists, a group that arose after the Millerite Great Disappointment in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. An interest in Bible prophecy was sparked in part by Jonas Wendell. In 1876, Russell met Nelson H. Barber and subsequently adopted Barber's eschatology. Barber had predicted the visible return of Christ in 1873, and when that failed to occur, he revised the prediction to 1874. Soon after Barber's second disappointment, his group decided that Christ had returned invisibly to earth in 1874. So again, you would call that, I guess, just making crap up as you go along. Yes, Christ will return this year. Oh, wait, he didn't. We met next year. Oh, wait, he didn't. Oh, wait, he did. He's just invisible. So anything to kind of fit the belief into the parameters that you've outlined. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, in 1879, Russell broke with Barber over the concept of substitutionary atonement, and he soon began publishing his own magazine entitled Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence, which is now called The Watchtower. He became known as Pastor Russell, and in 1881 formed the legal entity which developed into the nonprofit organization, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania, currently headquartered in New York City. Stay with us, my friends. We will continue our lengthy news segment here in 3 minutes.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews.
Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Take it all lying down, 'cause once I get started, I go to sleep. 'Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the home stretch final hour. And we're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this will all start to make sense as we go through the list. You'll see the interconnectedness of all these different religions and all these different affiliations and the overall sort of purpose behind it all. At least I think you will. You might disagree. But, hey, do the research and you'll come to your own conclusions. So under beliefs and practices at the Wikipedia.org listing, it says witnesses consider the entire biblical canon, excluding the Apocrypha, the inspired word of God. They interpret the Bible literally, though it is acknowledged that biblical writers and characters employed symbolism, parable, figures of speech, and poeticism. They hold that the Bible alone should be used for determining issues of doctrine. Interpretation of scripture and codification of doctrine is considered the responsibility of the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses. So again... If you look at organizations like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in something called tacking, I guess you could say, which would be similar to modifying the belief structure of the organization based on different things. For example, if they predict the end of the world is coming on this day and it doesn't happen, they'll say, oh, we staved it off. We prayed it down. So what you can say in regards to that is, again, the human beings having influence over doctrine is a dangerous thing, because you can basically justify anything. As if, you know, God would come down and say, hey, tell everybody the end of the world's tomorrow unless they do this. And then, of course, the end of the world isn't tomorrow. And then you'd say, whoa, it's a great thing. As if, you know, God's plan is somehow, you know, staved off. That God changes his mind in the course of various religions and whatnot. It's very, very bizarre. But we see it in all of them, and certainly Catholicism as well, which has been around for thousands of years, you can say. They've obviously come out and apologized for many things. They've apologized for not taking a stand during the Holocaust and so on and so forth. So you'd have to say, well, hold on a second here. If this is, you know, God's representative on earth in the form of the Pope, why is God on earth, God's representative, God's man, why is he not coming out against all the wrongs and not having to have a doctrinal apology hundreds of years later, or in the case of the Holocaust, you know, decades later? If God was telling you exactly what to do, then there shouldn't have to be an apology, right? It makes sense. Well, again, Jehovah's Witnesses, and just like every other man-made organized religion, doing a lot of the same things. Anyway, Jehovah's Witnesses believe the last days began in 1914 and Armageddon is imminent. All other religions are false, they believe, and they will shortly come under attack by governments worldwide. After false religion is destroyed, governments will also face destruction. Okay. Their view of morality reflects conservative Christian views. Homosexuality and premarital sex are considered sins. Abortion is considered murder. Sounding very much like, you know, again, some of the very, very conservative Christian mindsets that are directing the actions of the fellowship in D.C. and, of course, shaping policy for our government into a virtual theocracy. What I'm saying is that the Jehovah's Witnesses belief structure is very similar to Sam Brownback's and what other people are saying. Jehovah's Witnesses are politically neutral. They feel their allegiance belongs to God's kingdom, which is viewed as an actual government. Thus, they refrain from saluting the flag of any country or singing nationalistic songs. They believe such an act would be tantamount to worshiping an idol. So again, when Sam Brownback and members of the cell, his cell, and the fellowship that was mentioned in the story we did on Friday, when they talk about the government, what they're talking about is basically eliminating government and having God, you know, be in charge. And, of course, the seat of that government would be in D.C., and the people who are in charge with implementing God's will would be those who were elected to power by God, according to Romans 13. And for you to disagree with that would be tantamount to eternal damnation and hellfire and whatnot, which, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses don't necessarily believe that, but they do believe in destruction of, you know, anybody who's, I don't know, against that sort of thing. But anyway, it goes on. It says congressional discipline. Jehovah's Witnesses employ various levels of discipline as formal controls administered by leaders of the congregation. The determination of guilt or innocence is judged by a tribunal of elders. A variety of controls can be enforced, from a restriction of duties performed in the congregation to excommunication, known as disfellowshipping and shunning by the congregation. Members who are disfellowshipped have an opportunity to regain membership. The practice of shunning has been criticized by many non-members, and former members presumably as well, since they were subject to it. But again, what you've got here is a tribunal of elders. This would be comparable to government as a theocracy, right? I mean, we talk about judges and various people like that. It would be interpreting the will of God, having discussion. Well, God has came down here and sat with us in our elders meeting, and he said that you need to be beheaded. Now, obviously, the Jehovah's Witnesses are not beheading people, but, you know, if they were in charge of government, they might feel that way. It says one of the most outspoken critics of Jehovah's Witnesses is Raymond France, a former third-generation Jehovah's Witness who's written some books about their beliefs and different things like that. Criticism regarding the procedures on reporting child abuse has also come up. The group called Silent Lambs held a news conference in Nashville to demand that the denomination change its policy for responding to sexual abuse reports. Settlements were reached in late February and early March, according to court records obtained by Silent Lambs and posted to the group's website, which is silentlambs.org, by the way. 14 of the cases were filed in California, and another two were in Oregon and Texas. William Bowen, Silent Lambs' founder, was a Jehovah's Witness elder from Kentucky who quit the denomination after he said it took no action against a molester. We've interviewed William Bowen on this program before, I take it back. It was my former program when it was just a morning show. But an incredible guy who has come out there and said, basically, according to research and whatnot, they have, you know, thousands or maybe even more, maybe hundreds of thousands of reports in the Jehovah's Witness religion of child abuse that were never reported to authorities. Because, again, they don't view the police or law enforcement, they view them as worldly authorities and therefore not worthy of having it reported to. But, again, that's just from the elder's perspective. Bowen's group has criticized the Jehovah's Witnesses' policy that if accused abuser denies the charge, two credible witnesses are required to establish guilt due to literal application of Bible verses such as Deuteronomy 19:15, which says, quote, only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be sustained, end quote. So what they're saying is that if you don't have two witnesses who have viewed the abuse, then the abuse is considered not true. It says if two witnesses are lacking, the accused is deemed innocent, charges remain confidential, and, say, silentlambs.org, parents who warn others are subject to disfellowshipping for slander. So you're not even allowed to warn, brother, you know, Joe over there likes to have his way with little boys, so don't let your little boy go play at Brother Joe's house. If you do that, Brother Joe will have you kicked out. Some scholars, it says, have criticized the New World Translation, which is the translation of the Bible published by Jehovah's Witnesses, stating that the group has changed the Bible to suit their doctrine and that the translation contains a number of errors and inaccuracies. A number of books have been published that are critical of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Critics state the Watchtower Society has made a number of unfulfilled predictions and doctrinal changes over the years, while claiming that it is the, quote, one and only channel, end quote, used by God to continually dispense the truth. So, again, they say that there's... just like most organized religions, they'll say that theirs is right, everybody else is wrong, and yet they've come out and made many predictions and made many changes to Scripture and claim that it's still true. Raymond France, who we mentioned earlier, a former member of the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses, has challenged the witnesses' policies on blood transfusion, stating that their requirements are inconsistent and contradictory. Witnesses teach that, quote, freedom to make decisions is to be exercised within the boundaries of God's law and principles, end quote. So again, taking this extreme view and applying it to a theocracy in terms of government, you could see that your freedoms would only exist to the extent that they're within the boundaries of God's laws and principles, which you'd ask yourself, what are those laws and principles? Which ones do we adhere to? And so on and so forth. And that's later on in the news segment, such as the Noahide laws, which we'll talk about. It says they also believe, quote, only Jehovah is free to set the standard of what is good and bad, end quote, indicating again, only God decides good and bad, but as far as human implementation of God's will, that's up to human beings, which is where the flaw would lie, you would say. It says, the leadership promotes itself as the channel God uses to interpret and instruct members about what is good and bad. Exactly what I just said. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society's former affiliation with the Department of Public Information of the United Nations has been controversial. Yeah, I would say so. So there's your Jehovah's Witnesses. In a very, very brief nutshell, here's something you may not know. The Jehovah's Witnesses will never tell you this, and they'll never talk about it. But their founder, Charles Taz Russell, has a very interesting little monument to him. You could find this if you look up freeminds.org, the Rosemont United Cemetery. That is the gravesite for Charles Taz Russell. Now, instructions for his funeral include, quote, I desire to be buried in the plot of ground owned by our society in the Rosemont United Cemetery, and all the details of arrangements respecting the funeral service I leave to the care of my sister, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you want to see the gravesite, here is where it is. It's kind of like a trip to the Georgia Guidestones. You might find it to be very eye-opening. Of course, you can do so online by going to this website. But it says that the area is in the North Hills area of Pittsburgh, the Rosemont United Cemetery is in Allegheny. The street is named Cemetery Lane. It's off Interstate 179, exit 12. Cemetery Lane takes you to the gravesite, but you'll pass by a road called Masonic Way. Not Masonic Road or Masonic Street, but Masonic Way. I think that's interesting. Stay with us. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, continuing with our news. Charles Taz Russell, founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, upon his own instruction, has all of this. You can see for yourself. Of course, you look it up. Rosemont United Cemetery. Here's a headstone, and it's very noteworthy, sort of. Not so much for the headstone, but for what's nearby. Anyway, it says, above is the headstone of Russell's grave. Note, he was viewed as the seventh or Laodicean messenger to the churches from Revelation 3:14. The first six are listed as St. Paul, St. John, Arius, Waldo, Wycliffe, Luther, and, of course, Charles Taz Russell, the Laodicean messenger. I assume I'm saying that correctly. Anyway, what's noteworthy about it is that right near his headstone is a pyramid memorial. It's in the shape of a giant pyramid, and it's built by the Watchtower upon his own instructions with cross and crown emblem and capstone. It says, note Russell's headstone is in the background. You can see the picture for yourself quite plainly. And it says a close-up of the pyramid with a cross and crown emblem, and Watchtower Bible and Tract Society carved in the stone. And it says, Risen with Christ is carved in stone on another side of the pyramid. The cross and crown emblem is on all four sides. So quite obviously a pyramid there, and some sort of connection perhaps to the Masons. Very, very intriguing, not admitted by Jehovah's Witnesses, and certainly not known by a lot of them either. Now, we're going to take a little jump here from the Jehovah's Witnesses over to Islam, in particular the Nation of Islam. Okay. Now, this is from a book by Dr. Robert Morey, who is a former guest on this program, page 162 and 163 of his book entitled Winning the War Against Radical Islam. Now, here's where, like I said, I'm showing you the connectivity of the different things, okay, and how it all ties in to the fellowship and whatnot. Question number 9 here, it says, what is the Nation of Islam that is headed by Louis Farrakhan? Here's the answer provided by Dr. Morey in his book. It says, one of the little-known facts about the Muslim movement in the African-American community is that there are at least 7 black Muslim cults, each one claiming to be the only true Nation of Islam. What they're fighting over is the heir to the bizarre teachings of Elijah Poole, better known by his alias of Elijah Muhammad. He was a semi-illiterate southern black man who was a disciple of a white cult leader by the name of Wallace Dodd Ford. The police record on W.D. Ford is quite long and includes drug dealing and other rackets. He left the drug business and decided to set up a new religion specifically designed to draw in angry young black men who wanted to escape from the poverty and racism rampant in the northern cities of the United States. By playing on the emotions of bitterness, despair, hate, and more, Ford manipulated poor, uneducated blacks to give him their souls as well as their money. Not being knowledgeable about the Bible, Ford utilized the cultic teachings of another white man by the name of Charles Taz Russell, the founder of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, or as they are called today, the Jehovah's Witnesses. So in essence, the founder of the Nation of Islam, the African-American Muslim group in America, is based on the teachings of Charles Taz Russell, which is, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses. A lot of people don't know that. It says Ford changed his name frequently, but today is known to his modern disciples as Master Fard Muhammad. He told his disciples he was Allah, or God, and thus they had to submit to his divine authority. To their shame, they brought into his con game hook, line, and sinker. So again, he is God incarnate, and you must submit to his authority. Very much in keeping with what we've already discussed, the Jehovah's Witnesses and their interpretation of Bible law and Bible interpretation, and of course, Sam Brownback and the Fellowship and their prayer cells and, you know, striving to create a theocracy in, along the world, and certainly not above involving themselves in warfare in order to achieve that, spreading, you know, their version of the Bible planet-wide. So again, you start to see all these connections. It says Ford also taught that there were 24 black men who were the original gods. The white race was created by a black god named Yakub. White men were created as devils, and this explains why they've treated the black race with such disrespect. Due to the lies and tricks of these white devils, the black man has forgotten that all blacks are gods and goddesses. These teachings were made all the more bizarre by the fact that Fard was a white man. Thus, the Nation of Islam was founded by a white devil before whom black men bowed, calling him Master Fard Muhammad. It's bizarre stuff. And again, the Nation of Islam in America is based on the teachings of Charles Taz Russell, who, you know, seems to have a Masonic connection, has a pyramid, you know, monument near his gravesite, with the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society carved on it, you know, very much like, with the exception of the eye, the pyramid on the back of the $1 bill, of course, with the Masonic influence there. So you start to see all these connections. Now, again, the Fellowship claims that they're against the Masons. But, again, I don't know that that's true or not. It's very, very, very bizarre. And we've got here a story from 2003. From a guy who basically infiltrated this group, the Fellowship or the Family, whatever you want to call it. And this is the D.C. chapter. This is not the the one in Australia, which seems to have some connectivity to what's going on over here as well. But again, bizarre, bizarre stuff, folks. And you start to see all these patterns linking all these different denominations together and all these different connections leading to one thing, which is, of course, divine authority on earth, and who will be submissive to that. So when we talk about all these little secretive groups and the Luciferian angle behind all this, I think we're seeing it in all these stories. Stay with us, folks. Back in 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Got about 25 minutes left in the show, and it doesn't seem like we're going to finish this new segment tonight. I apologize. I know, especially if you've been waiting since Friday to hear the rest of it. We'll have to get as far as we can, and hopefully we can at least get through this story, which is a fantastic piece from TheocracyWatch.org. Now, it's taken from an interview that was from the executive editor of GNN.TV, which is, I think, Guerrilla News Network, with a guy by the name of Anthony Lapp, who had infiltrated the fellowship. Now, it's from June 13, 2003. Here's what it says. It sounded like a reality show on the PAX network. Six conservative politicians living in a D.C. townhouse owned by a fundamentalist Christian organization. What happens when you stop being polite and start finding Jesus? In April, the AP story, the AP broke a story that six U.S. congressmen were paying the bargain rate of $600 a month each to live together in a swanky D.C. townhouse owned by a secretive fundamentalist Christian group known as the Fellowship, or the Foundation, or the Family. Many, understandably, were curious. Who is this organization? What is its agenda? Now, we've covered this extensively with that Rolling Stone piece on Sam Brownback, which I encourage everybody to read from January of 2006. It's entitled God Senator. You should read that. This guy's up for the Republican Party nomination for a presidential candidate. And, of course, when you read that and you see all the behind the scenes and the agenda that's being facilitated, the whole theocracy idea is alive and well, folks, and on the cusp of becoming a reality. This is scary, scary stuff. But again, it doesn't have to be. If you know the truth is empowering, the truth will set you free. So understand the behind-the-scenes stuff, and all will be well. It says the group, according to the AP, is best known for holding the annual National Prayer Breakfast at the White House, which offers scores of national and international heavy hitters the opportunity to praise God in close proximity to the president. In the article, the congressman, boarding at the House, denied owing any allegiance to the group, and several professed ignorance of even the most basic facts about the organization. Little else was reported about the group's history, their motives, or their backers. There is a reason for that. The Fellowship is one of the most secretive and most powerful religious organizations in the country. Its connections reach to the highest levels of the U.S. government and include ties to the CIA and numerous current and past dictators around the world. So here we've got an international organization that uses God as its sort of guiding principles, but in fact is one of the most secretive and most powerful groups in the world. So when we've said before about sort of how the Luciferian thing fits in and sort of how can all these groups have these common threads, well, hopefully we've outlined a great many of them here in this, you know, two-part, soon-to-be-three-part news segment that exposes all this. It says last month, Harper's Magazine published a rather extraordinary article by Jeffrey Charlotte. The piece chronicled Charlotte's three-week semi-undercover stay at Ivanwald, which is the Fellowship Mansion. So that's who the article, again, is written by Anthony Lapp. He's the executive editor of GNN.TV, which I think is Guerrilla News Network. In his interview with this guy, Jeffrey Charlotte, who wrote, he wrote a book basically about, you know, some of this stuff. But he wrote a piece for Harper's Magazine about, you know, this sort of semi-infiltration. Now, I say semi because he wasn't trying to be anything other than a journalist, but it goes on. Ivanwald, which sits at the end of 24th Street North in Arlington, Virginia, is known only to its residents and to the members and friends of the organization that sponsors it, a group of believers who refer to themselves as, quote-unquote, the family. The family is, in its own words, an invisible association, although its membership has always consisted mostly of public men, including Senators Don Nichols, a Republican from Oklahoma, Charles Grassley, Republican from Iowa, Pete Domenici, Republican from New Mexico, John Ensign, Republican from Nevada, James Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, Conrad Burns, Republican from Montana, are all referred to as members, as are Representatives Jim DeMint, Republican from South Carolina, Frank Wolf, Republican from Virginia, Joseph Pitts, Republican from Pennsylvania, Zach Womp, Republican from Tennessee, and Bart Stupak, Democrat from Michigan. And you could toss in Sam Brownback as well, so as well as many other people. So between this story and the Rolling Stone piece, these are the most important ones to understand about this group. It says regular prayer groups have met in the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, and the family has traditionally fostered strong ties with businessmen in the oil and aerospace industries. Now, again, we talked about the Fellowship in Australia, and, of course, they got the head of the, most high-powered stockbroker in the country sort of heading up that version. So you could see the connections there as well. The family maintains a closely guarded database of its associates, but it issues no membership cards and collects no official dues. Members are asked not to speak about the group or its activities. The organization has operated under many guises, some active, some defunct, such as the National Committee for Christian Leadership, International Christian Leadership, the National Leadership Council, the Fellowship House, the Fellowship Foundation, the National Fellowship Council, and the International Foundation. These groups are intended to draw attention away from the family and to prevent it from becoming, in the words of one of the family's leaders, a, quote, target for misunderstanding, end quote. So in essence, if you don't hear anything about this, it's because you might misinterpret what they're all about. So therefore, they just prefer to be sort of behind the scenes shaping policy and implementing agendas without your knowledge of it. The family's only publicized gathering is the National Prayer Breakfast, which it established in 1953, and which, with congressional sponsorship, it continues to organize every February in Washington, D.C. Each year, 3,000 dignitaries representing scores of nations pay $425 each to attend. So they come, 3,000 dignitaries from all over the world come here to attend this, put together by the fellowship. Steadfastly ecumenical, too bland most years to merit much press, the prayer breakfast is regarded by the family as merely a tool in a larger purpose to recruit the powerful attendees into smaller, more frequent prayer meetings where they can, quote, meet Jesus man to man, end quote. Now, that's the prayer cell that we were referring to, okay? It says, if all this sounds like something out of a conspiracy theorist's wet dream or paranoid nightmare, you're right. Charlotte's account of the 3 weeks of man-to-man interaction can only be described as disturbing and downright bizarre. In fact, it was so creepy that many accused him of making the whole thing up. It says, so what did Charlotte find? Well, here's what he said. Quote, actually, I was posing as myself. I write about religion. A friend said, go check out the fellowship. It's an interesting place. I went not knowing the politics. Within a few days, I began to see things were not all what I expected. This was connected to a pretty vast political network. Still, it was quite a pleasant place to live. As time went by, I started hearing more and more disturbing talk. So, and then he went on to say, quote, I've got lots of letters from people saying that this has got to be a hoax, or please tell me it's a hoax, or curiously from people who know a little too much to be saying the things that they were saying. So, in essence, what he's saying is that people started sending letters and saying, this can't be real, this can't be true. And other people saying, please say it's not real. Whether it is or it's not, say it's not so I can sleep better. And then people who knew a little too much to be asking the questions that they knew, indicating that it was infiltrators trying to get more information out of him. Infiltrators meaning members of the organization or in charge of keeping the whole thing together. Anyway, the question here from the interviewer. It says, what are some of the group's core ideas and what level of secrecy is involved here? And Charlotte says, quote, the goal is an invisible world organization led by Christ. That's what they aspire to. They're very explicit about this if you look in their documents, and I spent a lot of time researching in their archives. Their goal is a worldwide invisible organization. That's their word, and that's important because it sounds so crazy. What they mean when they say a world organization led by Christ is that literally you just sit there and let Christ tell you what to do. More often than not, that leads them to some sort of paternalistic, benign fascism. There are a lot of places where they've done good things, and that's important to acknowledge. But that also means they might be involved with General Suharto in Indonesia. And if that means that God leads him to kill 500,000 of his own citizens, well, then it would be prideful to question God leading them. End quote. So you see what I'm saying here about this type of thinking and how dangerous it is you can rationalize anything. You can get together and say, well, God, tell us what to do. Well, when you invite, you know, God to speak with you, I think it's important to gauge that it is God truly speaking to you and not, you know, another spirit perhaps. But here they're saying that if God tells them that it's okay to execute, you know, a million people and for them to sign off on it, then they'll say, hey, this guy's still one of us. He's still one of God's people. It's just that God is using him to cleanse the citizenry. Dangerous stuff, folks. It would be prideful to question God. That's what he says here. Question, quote, who are these guys and how many are there, end quote. Charlotte responds, quote, the only estimate was made by Charles Colson, Nixon's chief dirty tricks guy who went on to become the head of the Prison Fellowship Ministries. Right before he went to prison, the founder of the fellowship, Doug Coe, turned him on to Christ. Colson said there are about 20,000 people involved in the U.S., but you aren't really supposed to talk about it, end quote. Now, again, Colson and Coe both mentioned in that piece in Rolling Stone, although not as much information, and certainly not as darkly as they're mentioned in this one. Question, quote, but did they speak of themselves as operating in terrorist-like cells, end quote. Charlotte responds, quote, yes, they do. Inside your cell, you might know only six or eight guys. Let me give you a quick history. In 1935, Abraham Varied started it. By the 1940s, he has about a third of Congress attending a weekly prayer meeting. In the mid-50s, he gets Eisenhower support. And then there's a section here that's taken from the LA Times, 2002, which said during the 1950s, Vereed played a major role in the U.S. government's anti-communist activities, saying, quote, Pentagon officials secretly met at the group's Washington Fellowship House in 1955 to plan a worldwide anti-communism propaganda campaign endorsed by the CIA, documents from the Fellowship archives and the Eisenhower Presidential Library show. Then known as the International Christian Fellowship, Christian Leadership, the group financed a film called Militant Liberty that was used by the Pentagon abroad, end quote. That's from the LA Times. Anyway, Charlotte goes on, quote, it's sort of stabilized now, but by the mid-60s, they sort of realized they didn't want too many people. Too many people dilute the organization. One scene I saw was Congressman Todd Tiart, a Republican from Kansas, who seemed as if he was interviewing to be in the organization. He was very nervous. Leader of the organization was asking him questions, sort of leaning back and testing him. I think he wanted into this network, and he would fumble a little bit talking about abortion. They don't really care about abortion. They're against it, but they aren't really concerned about it, end quote. Now, that flies in the face of what Brownback was saying, again, about a holocaust of aborted fetal citizens and various things like that, again, referencing to the story we read on Friday. So the question is, quote, again from the interviewer, what are their core issues, end quote. Charlotte responds, quote, the core issue is capitalism and power. The core issue, they would say, is love. There are a lot of different things that love means. They will always work with both sides of an issue. I saw some correspondence with Chinese officials before Deng Xiaoping was in power. They had some very clandestine associations with senior Chinese officials and were told that Deng was a guy they could do business with, so that was fine with them. I wouldn't say it was all about business deals, but if you happen to be praying with someone and you were done praying and said, hey, I have some F-16s to sell, they would deny there's any connection there. End quote. Question, quote, it sounds to me like some sort of extended skull and bones, an old boys network crafted into a religious context, end quote. Charlotte responds, quote, the religious context is real. This is more about more than business. This is about maintaining a certain kind of power, a certain view of how power should be distributed. This is a lot more militaristic, really at its fundamental core, almost monarchist. We would be told time and time again, Christ's kingdom is not a democracy. This is their model for leadership. They would often say, everything you need to know about government is right here in the cross. It is vertical, not horizontal, end quote. So again, Christ's kingdom is not a democracy. So they're trying to bring Christ's kingdom to earth with Washington, D.C. as its head, worldwide, and basically implement a global theocracy. Folks, that's a one-world religion. Okay, whether you say it's based on the Bible, so it's okay, or you say any sort of interpretation of God's will other than your own personal interactions is not okay, that doesn't detract from this being their agenda. Anyway, the question, quote, in that vein, reading your article, I got the impression they're praising guys like Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan a lot. Is that a fair assessment of your intention, end quote. Charlotte responds, quote, in fact, Harper's maybe cut back on this stuff. They said, we know it's true, but this is already so much to absorb, end quote. So what he's saying here is that in his article, which was written for Harper's Magazine, they made him edit some of that stuff out about how they were worshiping Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, and of course in the Brownback article, we talked about a great many other things. So Charlotte goes on, quote, that's why I included that line at the end of the story. The leader of the group is having dinner with the younger members of the group and is talking about the bond, the covenant, and he says, quote, can anyone think of someone else who had a covenant, end quote. The answer, of course, and everyone knows it, is Hitler. That goes back to the 1960s. Vereed was instructing young men by having them all read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Look at what those guys did, but they'll say, we're not trying to kill Jews. What we were talking about is imagine if you took the Hitler concept, and they'll use that phrase, the Hitler concept, to work for Christ or the Mao concept. We're not right-wingers, they'll say. You can use the Mao concept. End quote. So what he's saying is they're saying, oh, no, no, Hitler was all right. He had something going on, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as bad as, you know, we don't need to take it down that road. We don't need to kill Jews, but we can use the Hitler concept to be successful. Now, that gels completely with the Rolling Stone article. It also gels with the founder of Opus Dei having sympathies for Adolf Hitler. And, of course, you see all the different connections here. This is very, very interesting and very important stuff. The question here, quote, define the Hitler concept, end quote. And Charlotte says, quote, a loyal leadership cadre, which is interesting because guys like Hitler and Stalin were famous for purging, but they seem to focus on a couple of guys saying that if two or three agree, that's a phrase they use a lot. If you can get together and focus, you can accomplish anything. You don't need to sway the electorate. You don't need to convert everyone to Christ. Everyone doesn't have to believe in Christ, and that's where they differ from other fundamentalists. All these guys, Hitler, Lenin, Pol Pot, Osama bin Laden is another guy they cite a lot, are guys who understood the power of a political avant-garde. That is what they mean by the Hitler concept. Also keeping your message simple and repeating it again and again, because there is only one message, and it is Jesus loves. You can express a lot of different things with that term. They are not the traditional right-wing bad guys. They have been able to do a lot for so long because no one has been looking for this kind of thing. End quote. Now, did you catch that? Another guy that they cite a lot, Hitler, Lenin, Pol Pot, and this guy, Osama bin Laden. The Fellowship, which again, global leaders, are talking about the effectiveness of an Osama bin Laden. That is very important. So the interview asks this question, quote, "This is where I'm confused. They sound to me like Nietzsche. They don't sound like Jesus Christ. They sound like they're creating the Nietzschean Superman above the moral universe for the rest of us slaves to live in," end quote. Response, quote, "That's really perceptive of you. Many of them love Nietzsche. They think he's fascinating," end quote. Question, "But he hated Christianity. He was the ultimate amoralist," end quote. Charlotte says, "I know it's weird. There is one really wacky fundamentalist group that thinks that Doug Coe could be the Antichrist. They're not sure yet, but they might need to shave his head to see if he has the mark of the beast," end quote. We'll continue this, folks, when we come back. Although we won't be able to finish it tonight, I apologize. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm just going to go ahead and hold off on continuing with that story a little further because it's very, very important, I guess, that we have more time, and we just don't have it tonight. So, again, you paid for the whole seat, but you've only been using the edge of it, and we keep you on the edge of your seat at the conclusion of the broadcast tonight, because I know you're just as curious as anybody else out there where all this is going, and where it's going is a scary, scary thing. But, again, it doesn't have to be scary, folks. This is why it's important to understand these things. Now, a lot of people would say, hey, what's the point of all this? We can't really do anything about it anyway. Yes, we can. Look at how effective so many people have been in exposing things. You look at, let's say, for example, the Masons, right? I mean, supposedly the Fellowship is very much against Masonry. But at the same time, we know the problems with Masonry because of the hard work of various people who have been out there doing things. Most notably, of course, our good friend Ralph Epperson. Jim Mars is another one. Okay? So it's important to understand these things. And you look at the organized religions, for the most part, we're talking about the biggies here for the most part, they have a lot of control over their members, and we've talked about that. We mentioned about, Sam Brownback, of course, who's seeking the Republican presidential nod. He might be the candidate that they go to. If for some reason people fall away from Giuliani and McCain and all the other, and of course Ron Paul's in there too, but he's up against a lot of insider sort of things. There's a lot of, like, you know, company men and women in both parties who are vying for the job. And, of course, the job might be to simply go out there, be the nominee, and tank the party's, chances. So that way the other party can get into power, all orchestrated, again, from behind the scenes, perhaps by a group like the Fellowship. It's very, very, very interesting. So Brownback, of course, we mentioned him. We mentioned Opus Dei. Brownback has been baptized by Opus Dei, which is a very, very conservative sort of Catholic group. And we mentioned about Opus Dei, about the Supreme Court justices who may or may not be Opus Dei. There's certainly a lot of evidence suggesting that they are. We mentioned Opus Dei's beliefs, and, certainly Pope John Paul I coming out against them. He lasted 33 days, Masonic number. We mentioned about the Fellowship over in Australia, and sort of what's been going on over there. We mentioned about their practice of shunning, which is, again, spreads all over the spectrum of organized religions as far as if you try to leave or you do something that they disapprove of. We talked about the Jehovah's Witnesses. We talked about their founder, Charles Taz Russell, his cemetery, having a Masonic headstone right off the instruction, and, of course, right off the road from Masonic Way. That's the name of the road. And then we talked about, the Nation of Islam here in America, the African-American group headed by Louis Farrakhan, based on the teachings of Charles Taz Russell, more Freemason perhaps, certainly a cult leader. And then we went on to discuss about the Fellowship or the family or whatever you want to call it, which is here from Guerrilla News Network. Really fantastic stuff. We'll continue this tomorrow, my friends. But again, don't be worried about these things. Be excited. Be excited that the truth is setting you free. Be excited that you're seeing the behind-the-scenes connections and the connectivity and the grander scheme of the powers that be to control you and control this planet. Again, folks, one world government, one world currency, one world religion. If you monitor those three things, you'll see all of the agendas falling into place. It's amazing stuff, that's for sure. So anyway, have yourselves a spectacular day. We'll see you in 20 hours for more.